It is because in the first three chapters we have been given by the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul, we have been given the example of Christ. Christ, who did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. He didn't hold on to the glory that was His, but He emptied Himself. He sacrificed it all, laid it down, becoming obedient even to the point of death, death on a cross. Why? For us, so that God might use Him to save us. We have been given the example of Paul. Paul has told us in chapter 3 about his own desire, his own sacrifice. Why? So that he might know Christ more and be made more like Christ. We've been given the example of Epaphroditus and the example of Timothy, guys that have sacrificed, guys that have laid their lives down like Jesus, to see God work in them, to see God teach them, to trust Him more, and to see God work through them, to see God take their lives and their sacrifices and use them so that the progress of the gospel happens through their own sacrifice. And so we've seen in this book, we've seen Jesus, we've seen Paul, we've seen Timothy, we've seen Epaphroditus, and how God uses our sacrifices. We get to chapter 4, and he says, "Therefore, since we've seen all of these things and we've been taught all of these things," here's what he says. "My beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and my crown, in this way, stand firm." The concept of standing firm means confidence. There is great confidence, even when the world seems to be shaking. Even when things that we once counted on in terms of our circumstances and the things that we banked on and hoped in and dreamed of, even when those things crumble, we can still be confident. Why? He says to stand firm in the Lord. And this is kind of where we want to jump off right here. Because when he says stand firm in the Lord, he's going to jump right into verse 2. And there's a lot going on there. We need to understand. He's going to say the phrase, "in the Lord," three times in four verses. It's very important. He starts off in verse 1 and he says, "Stand firm, be confident in the Lord." When he says "in the Lord," you need to understand what the opposite of "in the Lord" is. The opposite of "in the Lord" would be "in the way things are going." In your circumstances, are we confident? Are we sure that things are going to be okay because of what I can see around me? Am I standing firm because everything, as the old song says, is going my way? No, of course not. No, we're standing firm. We're confident. Our hope is not in our circumstances. It's in the Lord and what He is doing in my life and through my life. Our confidence is in the Lord and His work. That's where our confidence comes from, regardless of what our circumstances all are. There might be a hurricane coming this way, but I can stand firm in the Lord and trust that He is at work in me and He is at work through me. Right? Now, he gets to verse 2. And verse 2, it seems on the surface that verse 2, man, he's just totally switched topics on us. He's talking about something else now. Watch what he says. He says, verse 2, "I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to live in harmony," and here's our phrase, "in the Lord." Up until this point, he has been talking about sacrifices and challenges that have been on a life changing scale. We've seen Jesus sacrifice His glory to be crucified on a cross. We've seen the Apostle Paul go from having a ministry on the mission field to being chained to a Roman prison. We've seen Epaphroditus, who's been sick even to the point of death. We've seen Timothy have to get on a boat and go all the way to Philippi, right, from where he was in Rome. He's been talking to us about sacrifices and challenges that have been on this life-changing scale. Here's what the Holy Spirit is teaching us right here. And it is the principles of sacrificing what we want, of emptying ourselves like Christ, of knowing Christ and the fellowship of His sufferings, that doesn't just play itself out in big, dramatic, life-changing circumstances and challenges. The principles are also true in the day-to-day challenges of interpersonal relationships, that we are going to be called to lay ourselves down, to consider others more important than ourselves, chapter 2, in the day-to-day workings of the way that we relate to each other. And so he says, I urge Euodia and Syntyche. Listen, ladies, you got to live in harmony. The fact that these are ladies is not significant. It just happened to be these two ladies. Guys, we deal with this too. But let me show you what might be happening here. He is going to take these principles of how God calls us to lay our own lives down, to lay our own desires and our own dreams and our own plans, to sacrifice ourselves. And that's how we become more like Christ here, right in the everyday challenges that we face. It happened like this. Euodia and Syntyche. They were involved in fixing meals for widows and orphans, which is what the early church did a lot of. And Euodia and Syntyche, they were both on the schedule to fix meals. And it was Yodia's turn this evening to fix a meal. She was on the schedule for tonight. And so she went to the market that morning, and she spent all day preparing this meal for the widows and the orphans that were going to be at the gathering place tonight. And she gets her meal ready, and she puts it all together, and she carries it over to the meeting place, the gathering place, where the widows and the orphans are there, and they're going to have a meal together. And as she walks in the door with all of her food that she's prepared all day long, she realizes that Syntyche is already there. And Syntyche has prepared a meal too. And Syntyche is already there dishing out her food. Now, Syntyche knows, or at least she should know, that she was on the schedule for Thursday night. But she didn't even look at the schedule. She just did whatever. Syntyche always does that. She doesn't ever look at the schedule. She doesn't even think about the fact that she might be on somebody else's night. She just does whatever she wants to do. And that's always what she does. And I have spent all day and all this money preparing this meal only to get there and realize that Syntyche, Lord bless her, she has done it again. And this time I am mad because this cost me a lot of money and a lot of time. Right? And that's just the way she is. She does that all the time. Right? And because it did not turn out the way that I want it to turn out, man, now I'm on the warpath and I'm going to fix Syntyche. The Apostle Paul, I urge Euodia and Syntyche to live in harmony in the Lord. Harmony. Harmony is not two people doing the same thing in the same way, is it? Harmony means that two people who are gifted differently can have a relationship with one another while doing different things, different ways. Harmony doesn't mean that everybody's got to be the exact same. Harmony means that we're able to do what God has given us to do in a way that brings peace and that complements one another, right? And so he says to Euodia and Syntyche, live in harmony in the Lord. Not necessarily in circumstances. Circumstances don't always promote harmony. But the Lord does. Because they are able, or He's imploring them to be able to live together, not because she always does what I want her to do, not because she always does it the way I would do it, but because the Lord has given this for me to do, and the Lord has given this for her to do, and I can live with her in harmony, watching what the Lord does through both of us. You guys see that? Now, here is what's happening. The book of Philippians, the Holy Spirit has led Paul in the book of Philippians to teach us that in any given situation, that any time I have to sacrifice, that rather than look at the circumstances, I am to look to the Lord, and I am to see the Lord at work in my life, teaching me to trust Him, and I am to look for the Lord working through my life, using my life to show others what it looks like for Jesus to sacrifice for you. Now, that can be played out on big life-changing challenges, but here we see it being played out in two ladies' lives, maybe over a meal or something as insignificant as that. Syntyche didn't look at the schedule. She should have. Euodia had spent a bunch of money and a bunch of time, and that was irritating to her. But there's going to be a sacrifice. There's going to be a willingness to lay down what is important to me and to consider others more important. To let go of my expectations. To let go of my interests. And to live in harmony with the people around me. Okay? Here's how that plays out. Verse 3. Indeed, true companion, I ask you also to help these women who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel. Here's the first thing. Here's how this works. Here's how this plays out. The first thing, the Apostle Paul is led to talk to the church. He's no longer talking to the two ladies. He's now talking to the church. And you know what he says to the church? He says, church, help these two ladies. Do you know what naturally happens in a church when you have something like that between Euodia and Syntyche? Normally what happens in a church is you begin to choose sides. Well, these folks over here, boy, Euodia, she got on the phone that night and she began to call all of the people that she knew would see it her way, and they began to take her side. Syntyche, oh, she was just as mad. She got on the phone that night too. She began to call all the people that she knew would be on her side and see it her way. And so the whole church began to take sides against each other. Is that what the Holy Spirit means by helping them? No, it is not. And so for us as a church, the Holy Spirit says, hey, wait a minute. You got somebody that's got some conflict going on here? Help them. If Euodia calls you, don't just fuel her fire and take her side. Help her to see, hey, well, you know what? Maybe the Lord had a plan in this. Maybe the Lord, we don't know that He had a plan for the food, but we know that He had a plan for your life, and this is an opportunity for you to show love even when it costs you something, right? Man, what an opportunity this is. And all it costs you was some food and a day's worth of work. You're not sick, you're not dead, you're not in jail. All it cost you was some food and a day's worth of work, and you get to reflect the character of Christ. What an opportunity. Syntyche seems like maybe you're only focused on what you want to do. Syntyche, here's an opportunity for you to say, wait a minute, I'm not the only one here. Maybe I should look at the list. Syntyche, here's an opportunity for you to say, I'm sorry, and to die to yourself and to show our church what it looks like to be humble and to submit yourself and to obey, to be a servant to other people. Syntyche, this is awesome. Look, the Lord has brought this situation about so that He can use your life to show what humility and obedience and love for one another looks like. Syntyche, this is an awesome opportunity you have here. see he's calling us to help each other, not to take sides. Can I tell you, this so rarely happens in church that it is even a stereotype. There is a stereotype about Baptist churches that they fight. How sad is that? Does it look like we serve a God of peace? We serve a God whose Son emptied Himself for us. When my interest is so dear to me, when I am so unwilling to lay down what is dear to me, that I'm not even willing to love my sister who Jesus died for, but I don't like. Is that a very good picture of the gospel that we say we believe? No. No, it's not. So he says, church, help these ladies. Verse 4, for all of us, rejoice in the Lord. There's that phrase. Rejoice in our circumstances? No. Rejoice in the fact that everything played out just the way I thought it was going to? No. Rejoice in the fact that, oh man, all of those widows and orphans, they talked about how they just loved my casserole. No. Rejoice. Why? Rejoice in the Lord. To rejoice. You know what? I showed up, and can you believe it? Syntyche was already there serving those ladies. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Man, I'm so thankful that we have a church that just has a servant's heart. Man, I'm so thankful that I see, man, Syntyche's love for these ladies. And you know what? Yeah, it cost me some money and I spent all day preparing, but that's okay. Man, the goal is that these ladies have something to eat and that our church is serving them and showing them the love of Christ. Praise the Lord for that. Rejoice in the Lord. Not in what I see happening around me. I'm not rejoicing in the fact that everybody is doing what I want them to do. Rejoice in the Lord. And you know what that means? Sometimes that means, if I'm rejoicing in the Lord, sometimes that means being willing to admit that, oh, wait a minute. God's plans might be better than my plans. See, I think it should go this way. And if I'm pretty confident in my own plans, if I'm rejoicing in making it happen the way that I want it to happen, then I'm going to get pretty upset when it doesn't go my way. But when I'm rejoicing in the Lord, I'm willing to say, that's not the way I thought it was going to go. That may not even be the way I thought it should go. But God's got it, and He's pretty good at working stuff out. I think I'll just trust Him. One of the biggest factors when we talk about our interpersonal relationships is expectations. It's very easy to come into a group of people, to relate to people, to work with people, and you come into every one of those circumstances and those relationships with a set of expectations. I have an idea in my mind of how I think this is going to play out. That's an expectation. And when it does not play out like that, when my expectations go unmet, that is the source of all kinds of conflict. When couples are preparing to get married, every couple that I counsel to get married, we're going to talk about expectations. Why? Because you know what causes more marital unrest? When I come into a marriage, I have an expectation of how this thing's going to play out. A lot of times it has to do with how my parents' marriage played out. And when your parents live differently than my parents and you come and you act different than the husband I thought you were going to be, well, phew, that's when you get into big time trouble. Jesus emptied himself by becoming obedient even
to the point of death. You know what? When we come into relationships, these are the everyday gives and takes. These are the everyday interactions. And God uses my life, even in the small stuff, to reflect that sacrificial love, that trust in the Lord. Now that doesn't mean maybe Euodia needs to go to Syntyche. Maybe she needs to talk to Syntyche about, hey, how this schedule thing works. But how does she go? Look, one last verse, verse 5. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. You know what a gentle spirit is? A gentle spirit is the opposite of a combative, belligerent spirit. There is a way that we respond that is combative and belligerent. And I'm going to let her have it, and I'm going to manipulate the situation so that it turns out the way that I want it to go. And I tell you what, she did it this time, but she ain't never going to do it again. I'll make sure her name is taken off the list. And there is this combative, belligerent spirit that says, I'm going to make it happen the way I want it to happen. Versus a gentle spirit that is allowing things to flow. How do we get a gentle spirit? Verse 5. Let your gentle spirit be made known to all. The Lord is near. Do you know what? We don't have to be combative and belligerent. We don't have to force things to happen our way. Why? Who is present? And who is at work? And who ultimately is in control? The Lord is. And I can trust God's got this thing. It didn't turn out the way that I thought it was going to, but God's in control. And I can love her, and I can be gentle towards her. Now, maybe I need to go to her, and I need to talk to her about it, but I can go to her gently. And say, you know, man, this thing turned out exactly the way the Lord wanted it to turn out. I just wanted to mention to you, you know, we do have a schedule. Listen, tonight, I'm thankful that it happened this way tonight. Thankful that, man, that food that you fixed, it was fantastic. And I can see the Lord's given you a servant's heart. Just wanted to mention to you, you know, you're on for Thursday night. You are on the schedule for Thursday. How about we switch? I'll do Thursday since you did tonight. You can go gently. Why? Because we trust the Lord. Because we see that He is in control. Because we know that He is here and He is the one who is at work. A gentle spirit is what it looks like to trust the Lord. Do y'all know that? A gentle spirit is what it looks like to trust the Lord. Combative, belligerent, angry conflict looks like a trust in myself. Gentleness looks like self-sacrificial love. Gentleness, humility, looks like Jesus. He emptied Himself, becoming obedient, even to the point of death. We can trust God is at work. He's at work in me. He's at work through me. And He wants to display the character of His Son and the work of His Son in my life, in these big, huge, life-changing challenges, but right down to the interpersonal interactions that we have every day. All of it. God wants control of it all. Father, God, I praise You for writing this down. I ask You to help us. Oh, Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would work in our hearts and that you would grow the attitude of Christ into our lives. I pray that we would no longer trust ourselves, but that we would trust you, and that you are at work. God, I pray that you would protect the harmony that you have built in our church family. God, I praise you for that. And I pray, Father, as different things happen, God, that your Holy Spirit would bring your word and the wisdom of it to our minds, and we would be like Jesus. Thank you that he was willing to sacrifice for us. Thank you, Father, that he loved us while we were still sinners. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In just a second, we're going to stand and we're going to